Peter R. Breggin, M.D., is called the conscience of psychiatry for his many decades of successful reform efforts. His scientific and educational work provide the foundation for modern criticism of drugs and ECT and lead the way in promoting more caring and effective therapies. His books include Talking Back to Prozac, Toxic Psychiatry, Medication Madness, Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal, and now, Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety, Understanding and Overcoming Negative Emotions. Welcome to the Dr. Peter Breggin Hour.
Hello. Hello. Hello, my wonderful audience. Once again, the folks I'm getting to know better and to interact with, which reminds me that I'm supposed to say this is August 22nd, 2018. I hope you're listening live. It's 4 p.m. Eastern Time or New York time. So if you're hearing a replay of this or another show archived and you want to find out how to call in live, you can call in live right now by going and getting your phone and dialing 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And today's subject, my wonderful audience, you today are the guests. My subject is children, children and drugs, children and any issues you want to talk about. We'll take calls on general subjects, but I'd love to see some good ones on children because that's what I want to talk about. And I'm learning a lot from a tremendous email response to our new dedicated email dedicated to my guests, my honored guests. And that's you, the audience today, BregginLive@hotmail.com. You can call, you can email me. I will read your email, BregginLive@hotmail.com. I take time before every show to sit down and go through the email and think about it and see what kind of responses that I might have. We also have a new feature that is really taking off. What began as occasional breaking news is now daily breaking news. And I will be putting up, or my marvelous assistant Ian, or my wife Ginger, will be putting into the daily breaking news, hot news, fresh news. I think Ian has finally named it fresh breaking news. We'll be putting in stuff of interest that's come out in the last day or two, and occasionally putting up something from time immemorial. So don't forget that now. You can get in touch with me at BregginLive@hotmail.com. I won't respond directly to you, but I will be learning from you, and I may mention occasionally on the air, as I plan to in a few minutes, some of the calls, what I might suggest in response. We've already got callers, so that's great. We're going to have a good show today, and I guess if I were all by myself, I can have a good show too. And in addition to the fresh breaking news, I'll always be trying to give a little bit of good advice along the way on how to live, you know, how to live your life. I think about that a lot now as I am in my many, many decades. What have I done right? What have I done wrong? How have I been allowed to live this long? Why have I had a good life? What did I do to get out of a bad life? What do I do when I start feeling bad about life? All of these things we'll get into over the weeks and years that this show continues. And remember the archive, and you can find that on my website. Now, one of the questions that does come up frequently is, how do I find out more about your courses? How do I register for them? How do I get in touch with signing up for your courses? All that kind of information. Now, we have a wonderful solution for you that we did not have before. And it's a stunning solution. It's a solution that is so much better than I ever, ever imagined. If you scroll down on my website, bregan.com, you will get, among other things, to enroll in my comprehensive online live interactive course, which will be starting probably in January for the second time. And then under it, you'll see and get a first look at two new courses that are coming up. Now, if you click on this, you are going to go to a place where you can find the phone number of Pam Popper, my esteemed nutritionist colleague, who is setting up these courses with me and doing a wonderful job, and who has got almost total responsibility for the the annual conference that's coming up in November that I co-sponsor. I'll be there. We'll have mental health stuff, and we'll have a ton of nutritional stuff. So you can go there, just click on it, and you're going to find at the bottom of the descriptions of the courses how to get in touch with Pam Popper. It's going to give you her email, and it's going to give you her phone number. I mean, what could be better? You asked, you kept writing in, folks, and saying we're having trouble getting through the maze of websites and signing up for the conference, signing up for the courses. So go back to the website, go to the course descriptions. It says Dr. Bregan's three new pioneering courses. The big course, which is intensive and meant for professionals, but anybody can take it. It's just very intensive course. It's a big deal. That's why and how to withdraw from psychiatric drugs, the intensive course. And it's you're gonna see, like, I don't know, two dozen or more videos by me that are specially made for the course. You're gonna see some videos by other folks. You're gonna interact live once a week with a young psychiatrist, a wonderful young woman, Panair Miski, who's been on my show and beyond again in just a couple of sessions. Panair is just really a good person for the course, and it is live. This is a live, interactive course. And then we're going to be doing a consumer course for psychiatric drug withdrawal for people taking drugs, their families, their social networks. And then we're going to have a course on the heart of being helpful for everyone. Now, how do you help folks? I mean, who says only professionals can help folks? Human beings have been helping folks. We've been doing it forever, forever. And they want to tell us we can't have to have a license to talk to our family, to help our family members? Of course not. So learn how to help family members. Learn how to help yourself. It starts with part one, helping yourself, and then goes on to part two, helping others. No licensing, nothing like that. So you can help your family member, yourself, people that you like and care about. You can use skills, learn skills that human beings have had skills forever to help each other, or we wouldn't be around today. So we're cutting through all the baloney. Very excited about these courses. And again, go check them out. And if you scroll down at the bottom of each course, they're all on one page. Very easy. You're going to see how to call or email Pam. You can talk to her about the courses. You can talk to her about the great conference that we have been doing now for several years together. Now, today we're talking about children, and I want to take you to my fresh breaking news and go way back in time, way, way back in time, to September 4th, 1933. And you'll be able to find this document. It relates to children. Relates to a lot of terrible things. You'll be able to find this document that tells you something about the start of Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger that is incredibly important. And the article is in a newspaper. You'll find it, see it, and it got the headline, Eugenics Code Urged for U.S. What's a eugenics code? And here's what it says. Margaret Sanger says babies need protection. A code for babies was demanded Sunday night by Mrs. Margaret Sanger of New York, chairman of the National Committee on Federal Legislation on Birth Control. Speaking at the World Fellowship of Faiths, Mrs. Sanger asserted billions were spent annually, quote, in the bottomless pit of so-called charities to keep alive the delinquent, the defectives, the dangerous classes, in all compassion should never have been brought into the world. I mean, think about that. What is her concern here? It's with not letting people be born into the kinds of families she doesn't favor or to want to see growing and surviving. She says, I propose a code for babies, she said, so each child may help toward permanent recovery by coming into this complex realm with a heritage of wealth. That is, into rich families. This is complex language. But becoming into this complex realm, our world, with a heritage of wealth, with the certainty of a happy home and proper nourishment to arm him in life's struggle. You can find that again. You can read this. And my wife, Ginger, and I wrote a book. It's no longer in print. It's not going to bring money into our pockets, but you can probably find copies on the internet, called The War Against Children of Color. Children of Color. And get that book if you want to learn more about just how bad this country has been in regard to its treatment of African-American children, and how Ginger and I in the 1990s stopped a massive eugenics movement that was being funded by the federal government in multiple agencies, and how they were also funding a genetically based conference on the genetics of violence, all aimed at trying to show what Sanger was saying, that there are these defective delinquents and dangerous classes. Genetics. Instead of looking at life and what makes life so much harder for some people than for other people, for some babies and some families than for other people. Well, I'm now looking at my world here and trying to figure out, now that I've read on my website, how do I get back to my Skype and back to my program? And here I am. Rather than talking any more about children right now, other than to say, folks, call in and ask me some stuff about kids. School is starting. Well, I'll say a little bit more. School is starting. Do you want your child to go back on psychiatric drugs because school is starting? Is that what education's about? You grab your book, you grab your backpack, you take your drugs, and you go off to school. Do you want your kids taking neurotoxins? If they haven't been on them all summer, do you want to take that happier kid and make them a little less there? Which is what the stimulant drugs do. They suppress spontaneity in our children. They make them a little OCD, so they act like they're working or studying, and they're not. I don't know about that. I don't know. So see if you got some questions about that. And I want to say to Sarah, who wrote in, who wants to know, you know, what can we do? And she wondered about starting up her own group on people coming off psychiatric drugs and how she might go about that, and how she might have this group maybe talk also about how do you do when you come off drugs. And she also thought about doing a GSA, get my book, Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety, doing a book club about it. Well, look, Sarah, I'm going to ponder this. I don't know if I can help play a role in getting folks organized, getting folks in touch with each other. You know, everything in the world, all the reform work can't go through the small number of us who are just doing it all the time. We got to get more people figuring out, like, Sarah, how are you going to do this? You know, have you got a way to announce online or to pin up on a local bulletin board? Let's have a group to talk about the psychiatry and coming off drugs or something along those lines, or to start an AA group somewhere along those lines. I'm going to be pondering on this, talking to some of my folks about it. There's some way that we can help with this. It seems like a big task for me. I'd like you to be figuring out what in the world can you do. So I'm thinking, and I hope you're thinking about it too. And now, take a deep breath. And the calls I'm getting, I'm not focusing on kids, so I'm going to go with the random randomness of the calls and see if a real early caller, Carl wants to talk about bipolar. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am, Dr. Bregan. Okay,
Oh,
my
good to
question
hear.
is, hi, good afternoon. I have one question, and that is, Dr. Bregan, are there any medications that you would recommend that can be used to safely manage bipolar disorder?
Well, first of all, I've written tons about this. I began writing about this with what some people think is my most interesting or seminal book, which was Toxic Psychiatry. And I've written about it very recently in Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal and in Medication Madness. Bipolar, it depends on, first of all, what are you talking about? If you're talking about an acute manic episode, almost any drug that sedates a human being will, in fact, help them or force them to calm down. Now, we don't have facilities now that will do that without drugs. I do it in my practice if I can without drugs. I frequently help people come down and be able to walk out of the office and go back home and then come back again. By talking to what's happening to them. I don't give anybody meds because I want people to know I'm always going to believe in them and always going to try to help them without meds. I only give
Sure, I
meds when I'm
understand. That's very
withdrawing
good.
people. So let me talk for a minute, or did you want to interrupt? Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I apologize. I didn't want to interrupt. I just wanted to mention, see, I know, in fact, I have your book, Dr. Bregan, and I bought it last week, Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal. I looked through the whole thing. Now, I know that you're very much against Lamictal, which is widely used to manage bipolar. In fact, I think that's the drug of choice over lithium. And I saw that you wrote that it can one of is create life-threatening skin rashes. But my question is, because I was diagnosed some time back, but I know I've suffered under the disorder, as I understand it. It's a medical condition, not a psychological. What is? Excuse me. It is my understanding, Dr. Bregan. You can give me insight into this, or give me your correction. Is that bipolar disorder is a medical condition? It is genetic, not developmental. It's biological, not psychological.
Well, there's simply no evidence for that. There's literally just no evidence for that. You could
But
go, you know, buy or borrow a psychiatric textbook, read the chapter on bipolar. It'll give you 20 different genetic possibilities. It'll give you 20 different this
But
or
can I ask
that's
you?
about its being biological, but it is, there's no evidence it's biological. In my experience, since I try not to interrupt. I'm going to really hang in there with you. What I see happening in my practice all the time, because I don't give drugs, is that I see people who get some sort of a bad experience that just re-stimulates them into feeling depressed or you know, they've had while we're working together, they lose a loved one, or they go through some loss of work perhaps, and they start to get depressed. And when the depression becomes unbearable, understandably, their minds take them toward euphoria. And when you do that without medication, you can actually talk to the person and say, you know, Janie, Jack, I see what you're going through. This is a terrible time for you. I know that you may want to take drugs, and of course, you can get them from any other doctor, and I'll still see you. But I want you to know that I believe we can work on this. And so let's look at how you're going right now into a very dangerous place where you're not sleeping, where you're painting one room in the house after another and then painting over them again, Jack, or you're stopping strangers on the street, in which case the whole thing may be taken out of our hands because somebody who's either scared or concerned will call the police. So let's talk about handling your depressed feelings. Share them. Talk about them. Let's get your feelings out about it while you make up your mind. You're not going to take that terribly dangerous but terribly attractive route of getting high. And that's what, that'd be one of the ways. It would be tailored to the individual person, Carl, but that's one of the ways I would do it. The literature on all of the drugs that are used to treat people who have highs and lows indicates that overall it makes it worse. So we now have things like, you know, this rapid cycling, which was never seen before the drugs. Even some of the, quote, authorities admit that. We have terrible adverse effects. We have withdrawal symptoms, very documented from lithium, where people get more manic than they ever were. So, you know, it's a big subject, Carl, and I hope you'll read some more.
Can I just say a few things, Dr. Bregan? First of all, is this.
Listen, I restrained from that. I didn't say yes, you could say thanks for a minute, but I'm going to say yes. I want you to try to have a conversation with me. Why don't you have a conversation? Just tell me some of what you feel about what I said.
I understand. I disagree because
sure.
Absolutely, because what I think what has been shown in many, many cases that this is this type of disorder comes through families. And there's plenty of books that have written
everything comes through families. Carl, everything comes through families. You're speaking the language of your family. You probably root for the same ball team your father did, or you may not. You have many, many shared qualities. If your father was an alcoholic, you'll tend toward alcoholism, or you'll fight against it. There is no evidence that mania is genetic, sir.
Let me
if you want, send me an article. Go find an article. You have an email address, breganlive@hotmail.com. Send me an article, Carl, and I'll evaluate it on the air. I'm going to say bye now, and I wish you good luck, and you know, keep thinking through what you believe and keep reading. I'm going to go to Sammy in Pennsylvania about a nursing home experience.
Hello.
Hi, Sammy.
Oh, hi, Dr. Bregan. I really admire your work in the area of mental health. I recently visited a lady who used to work in one of my businesses, and she's now in a nursing home. And I asked her a simple question: how did you produce such a smart son who's now has a doctorate in mathematics? And she said, I used to read to him until he fell asleep. And then I want to add, and I used to read to my son until he fell asleep, and I fell asleep, whichever came first.
I think the reading to children is incredibly important, both for their peace of mind, to help them go to sleep, for bonding, for love. for helping with anxiety or nightmares. I just think reading to children is terrific. And Sammy, I'll confess to you, sometimes if I'm a little uneasy or nervous or too much is going on in my life, Ginger reads me to sleep. So what do you think of that?
Oh, I haven't heard of that one. That's neat.
Yeah, my wife reads me to sleep. I don't read her to sleep because she reads herself to sleep.
That's neat. That gentleman there who was having a problem with depression, I found that the thing that the easy way to get rid of depression is to find some subject or work that you're really interested in. I'm a frustrated inventor, and I've had a number of products on the market. And when I get interested in my inventions, any depression I have goes away.
Well, I think it's incredibly important. You know, I was a very depressed person for much of my life, as I've mentioned many times to folks, just to let them know I don't come from this real happy family and don't appreciate just how miserable people can get. Because I was in about as deep a depths of overwhelming depression and when I was a younger man as a person could probably get. And I used to say, if I could drag myself to my typewriter, that's how far back that goes, if I could drag myself to my typewriter, I'd be okay. And now, gosh, if I can get to my radio program and talk to you all, if I can, here, a little secret slip, if I can get that TV show I'm planning going, then and I can just get there, I'll be fine. If I can do that, if I can see Ginger, if I can talk with the Ginger's mom, and my assistant arrives, if my dogs are well, if the birds are flying back and forth at the feeders. I mean, there's just so many things now I've learned to love and so many people I've learned to love and so many activities I want to do. And they can change a lot. For example, I haven't been writing books lately. I've been really learning more about reaching out to people with the social media and so many other things. So, Sammy, I think you're absolutely right that one of the secrets to depression is to love a lot of things. And believe me, we are not the first persons to note that. I mean, I remember in high school reading Bertrand Russell, the great philosopher at the time who was gave a lot of bad advice on things like marriage, which he didn't believe in. But great thinker, Bertrand Russell, and he said secret to happiness is just to be interested in a whole lot of things, a whole lot of things. Sammy, what was your original purpose about calling? There was a note about the nursing home experience.
Sir, your voice is coming through the store. I don't know. We got a bad signal there.
All right. I'll check with my folks and see. But your voice is coming through. Keep talking.
Okay, well, that's a little better. What was your question, sir?
I'm asking right now, is my voice coming through?
Yeah, it's better.
It's better, okay. What I was saying is that, I said a lot of different things, but mainly the note said that you called in to talk about nursing home experience.
Say that again, sir?
Nursing home. Did you call in about a nursing home experience?
Yes. Now, when I visited this lady in the nursing home, she cries to me and says, "Get me out of here. Get me out of here, please." And the thing about it is she's in an area of the hospital, not the hospital, the nursing home, that I guess is for people who supposedly are demented or maybe have Alzheimer's. I think the doctor who's in charge of this case has mislabeled her. Her mind is as clear as it was when she was a cashier in one of my businesses. And I don't understand how we can get her out of it. I've tried to reach her son, and I'm still trying to reach him. Apparently, he's the only one who can get her out of there and get her transferred to where she should be. But this must happen to a lot of people who are in nursing homes or
hospitals. Oh, it happens all the time. And you spent time with her and you feel like she's communicating. She's certainly not all over the place, helpless, trying to run out in the street or anything.
No, nothing like that, sir. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, get in touch with her brother. Sammy, that's just the best thing you could do for her. We get and share that with them. And maybe, you know, if you have some success or want to talk about it some more, give us a call again, Sammy, all right?
One final point, sir. I talked to the manager there, and he says, I can't see any decrease in her mental capacity, and I've been here for 3 years.
Well, the best you can do is, I mean, that's a very strong indicator because, you know, dementia in the elderly is a downhill course. So listen, check it out. Try to get in touch with her brother. Maybe he's for her and maybe he's not, you know. See who you can reach who's in her family if you want to take that responsibility. Be a good Samaritan. Sammy, I'm going to go now and just wish you the best and get back to us. I'm going to go to a Dale in Idaho about being med free.
Yeah.
Dale.
Yes, Dale.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up? What you calling about?
Yeah, I take Geodon for schizophrenia and Ambien CR for sleep and gabapentin for restless legs. And I want to know if I can get in touch with you to help me be med free. I read your book, Toxic Psychiatry, and I was just wondering if I can get help.
Well, I don't see people from outside of Ithaca, and they have to have actually lived here and not moved here just to see me. I have a very small practice,
okay.
And I think you could go on my website, not my main website, my secondary website, which is empathictherapy.org or .com, Empathic Therapy, and look up the look up the therapy sign up for people who are, you know, want to be a resource for therapy. I can't tell if they're any good, but they're at least saying, hey, they kind of agree with me. There's also, I think, a resource center on maddenamerica.com.
Okay.
Those are the things that I would suggest. And I've written a book about coming off meds, a psychiatric drug withdrawal. Maybe that will help you work with a prescriber and with some other people in your community.
Okay.
You know, perhaps you can find somebody locally. Where in Idaho are you?
Nampa, Idaho, near Boise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody there. I hardly know anybody that does that kind of work around the country. Mostly they just do it personally by themselves.
I see.
Dale, I wish you good luck.
Empathictherapy.com?
Yeah, EMPATHIC, empathic.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Claudia, you have a daughter on meds. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Claudia. Do we know each other?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, I've been writing to you for a while, emails and Ginger, and you've given me a lot of hope on trying to help my daughter out. She's been multiply polydrugged after a rape years ago. Her name was Alexandra. Her name is Alexandra. And at this point, I had to get her out of New York because the hospitals kept drugging her, even when she was coming off of benzodiazepines. And I'm saying this is clonopin withdrawal. They basically threw me out of the psych ward, banned me from the hospital, and I had to get senators involved and just put as much pressure as possible to get her out of psych wards. I left the state, and I brought my daughter now to South Carolina, and I'm trying to help her heal. What the last drug, which was the worst, was Zyprexa. Out of everything, she always bounced back, but Zyprexa has done the worst. And I'm trying to figure out, I brought it to an internist yesterday, actually, and we had a meeting of the minds. He was actually the first doctor, medical doctor, who I told him, you know, I know more than most, so you could talk to me at a better level, a higher level, and he knew all about the GABA receptors and all that. And he said, your daughter's been poisoned. And he recommended cavanase, which I've been looking up since last night. He said because she races, she goes into mania, she gets like windows and waves. And he said that might calm down her system. But
did you find out anything about
it? Anything anymore. I looked it up. It helps with the GABA. He said it helped. He said, you know, he was explaining how the GABA receptors and how that's all stripped. And he said that should calm down her system. I mentioned I give her magnesium and it usually helps. He says, yeah, that will help. That will calm her down. So I'm just trying to get
well,
her to heal.
Beware of herbs that affect GABA. GABA, folks, is the sedating system of the brain. There are GABA receptors all over the brain. And in fact, we recently discovered that they're not just in the usual places, the synapses where you have receptors. They got GABA receptors on the axons, the long arms of the neurons that reach out to the next neuron. So this is GABA throughout the brain, and it's anesthetics, almost all of them enhance GABA. They jack it up, and by doing so, they jack up sedation. And some of the herbs, and I don't know about the herb that you're talking about, Claudia, but some of these herbs that jack up GABA also have withdrawal symptoms, sedative symptoms, because if they're affecting GABA, that's, you know, you're at the risk of having a benzodiazepine-like effect, which also
right.
affects
that's
GABA.
What I'm concerned about. I'm really not crazy about giving her anything, and I'm on a lot of sites on Facebook, a lot of people who I got her out of I brought her to the ER. They medically kidnapped her again down here, and then they force drugged her on antipsychotics again.
How old is your daughter?
She's 25 now. I threatened them with, Allie's actually part of a documentary that's being made called Legal Death and Drugs We Trust. It's on Facebook. And I basically threatened the psych ward my daughter was being choked, beaten. It was ridiculous. They brought her in handcuffs from an ER 2.5 hours away from my home.
Well, what a horrible thing for you to be, to start with. What a horrible stress for you to be going through. And does she want to take psychiatric drugs? What does she want
to do? No, she doesn't want any drugs. My daughter was a healthy, happy-go-lucky kid. She survived a rape trauma. And then
when was, how old was she when
that
happened?
Tried to cover it up. She was 17.
And she's been going on and off psych drugs now for those years?
What happened was, Peter, they gave her Prozac, and my daughter hallucinated. And when I called the ER, then they put her on Thorazine. And this was a normal, healthy kid. She was in college.
Did she get manic on the Prozac?
She was hallucinating on the Prozac.
Was she high along with it or not? Because often that's part of a Prozac mania. By the way, most of the mania out there, we got a call earlier about bipolar. I didn't get to mention that 95% in my experience of what's being called bipolar disorder is actually reactions to antidepressants and stimulants.
Exactly.
Jack up
exactly.
the brain.
Totally agree with you. You know why, Peter? Because I'm a teacher. I'm a special educator and a disability specialist. I've almost homeschooled kids. You know, I got my master's degree in disabilities. So when everything hit the fan with my daughter, I stayed home and I watched and I was witness to her reaction, and I was calling the doctor saying, something's wrong. She's like high.
Yeah.
She's hallucinating. And Claudia, they blew me off.
We've got about at least three more calls, and I'd like to get to them.
Sure.
Last week I left five people waiting, or 2 weeks ago. Last week, I think. Could you, is there a final question or point you wanted to make? I mean, what you're talking about is so important. It's so tragic. It is so complicated.
Right.
Is there something I could help with respond to?
What I have now, right now, is this internist seems very helpful. We're on the same page, and he offers chelation. I don't know, you know, where put you on an IV drip, and he said to build up her system. He's an internist, and I just want her to heal naturally. But, you know, she goes in and out of waves of mania, and I want to give her as much support, loving support from people around her. So
I don't know of anything that an IV drip is going to do.
Right. That's what
unless she's dehydrated or, you know, sick in some way and needs treatment.
No, like that she's
what's he
going to
put in the drip? You must be putting something in the drip. What is he going to put in it?
Well, he was mentioning, you know, vitamin C, but he said he wants to do blood panels to see where all her levels are.
Well, before I went to vitamin C in any form, even a pill, I'd get her on a plant-based diet. Listen to some of the shows I've done with Pam Popper. You can get them on the archives. Before getting into all these other alternatives, what people really need is a good solid diet. Claudia, I'm going to say goodbye now. Feel free to call back again, okay? I'm going to Vera in Kansas City.
Hi, Dr. Bregan. I'm calling about some friends of mine have a daughter who, when she was in college, had some episodes of unexplained crying, and they put her on Celexa. That was about 5 years ago. And then this past December, she admitted she was getting suicidal. She went to some kind of an outpatient clinic. They increased her dosage. And then in May, she just stopped taking it. She just kind of forgot about it because she was so busy with things and she's in the graduate program. And so she stopped taking it. And we were all so excited that she stopped taking it. In July, she started feeling depressed again. And last Sunday, suicidal. She went to a walk-in clinic. They put her back on the Celexa. Plus, they put her on Xanax because they said she had zero serotonin and it was going to take 4 to 6 weeks to build it up. And I guess my question is, I sent her mother the article that you wrote about Whitney Houston and Xanax. And the question is, how can she get off Xanax on her own after just taking it for 4 days or a week, or are we really in a problem where she can't get off that now?
Did you email me on?
I did.
Bregan Live, because I was actually planning to respond to that question, I'm just going here and going there, and I didn't get to respond to that question. And I think you said after 2 days. I mean, there's no drug that is. I shouldn't say no drug. I mean, maybe cocaine. If you took cocaine for 1 or 2 days, you could probably be well into an addiction process. But by and large, drugs that you take once or twice for 1 or 2 days or 3 days or 4 days are not going to addict you. They could start the process of addicting you and start the process of habituating you, which is meaning you feel like you need them and can't do without them, which is a serious, serious issue. It can be a very powerful issue, the psychological component and need that gets built up. But people can stop something like Xanax, which is a benzodiazepine, folks. It's very short-acting. It's extremely neurotoxic. Why doctors continue to prescribe the worst of every drug class is amazing to me. I mean, Zyprexa, Risperdal, some of the most toxic drugs on earth, the most prescribed, Xanax, the most toxic benzo, very toxic drug, one of the most toxic benzos anyway, gets prescribed all the time. It's like they want the big punch. Vera, what else can I help you with in this regard?
Well, I guess it could take a few days to get her parents to try to help her get off the drugs because they were the ones that were so afraid she was going to kill herself. And she claims she's like 28 now, and she claims she doesn't know why she's suicidal. Yeah. She just wants to.
Well, I hope she goes to struggle. Encourage him to try to find a good therapist. Google local therapists in wherever area she's in and read about what they have to say about themselves. And if they sound like warm, loving, caring human beings who don't have too many weird suggestions for their own special herbal concoction or something, they're worth trying out maybe.
So do you think if she were on it for like 2 weeks, she could still get off by herself or – I don't know how long this is going to take to maybe.
Well, what concerns me is, I don't think somebody is probably going to have a terrible withdrawal reaction after 2 weeks. But if she's very depressed, She could have a very bad worsening of her depression anytime she changes the drug dose up or down. So, I mean, the real issue here, I think you're a little bit on the wrong target right here. I think, Vera, what needs to be done is to encourage her mother to work with her daughter, maybe go in with her daughter and get a little family therapy. Find somebody we'll talk about what's the onset of these sad feelings, these desperate or hopeless feelings about. That's where I'd go with this situation, Vera.
Okay.
Vera, I'm going to say goodbye. And I appreciate how much everybody wants to go on with the conversation. Give me some feedback about whether I'm being too short with folks or not. I'm new at doing this on my own show. Usually I'm doing somebody else's national show, and they're the ones who do the cutting off and so on. So let me know how this is going. And again, it's so smooth here at PRN. You guys are marvelous. Sarah in California, you wrote in a note here about wanting a mentor for mental illness.
Well, for people who've been able to come off medications, we're coming out of being disabled, and we want to be able to get into the professional world. For example, I have my master's degree, but I'm having difficulty finding mentors for like research or people who have the kind of same mindset in terms of, you know, not looking at the medical model for psychiatric illnesses and looking more at plant-based diets. And how do we go into networking and finding people that have these interests so that we can move forward in our own recovery journey?
Well, one of the ways you can do this is by going to psych conferences. Psychological conferences of various kinds, or human growth conferences. Try and meet people, put things up on the bulletin boards and so on. You could come to our conference that Pam Popper and I put on. You'll find it scrolling down on Breggin.com. My website, breggin.com, and our conference, you can come there. You can check out Bob Whitaker's marvelous website, Mad in America. There's various ways you can meet people, and you could think about taking the courses that I already have that will be starting in January. That's a live interactive course. You'll meet people through the course because it's live interactive. And you could, get more involved in the movement, find your way into it. Those are some of the ways. I'm not sure I'm answering your question, though, so, talk to me some more about it.
Well, I guess I'm just kind of frustrated because I don't have the financial means to be able to do those kinds of things because I've been on disability for so long and I don't have any savings or means to be able to enroll and meet conferences, let alone fly there and stay in a hotel or enroll in things.
Well, I think you would find resources on Bob Whitaker's Mad in America. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I have.
Well, look around there. Look at the various discussion groups. See if there's ways to comment and actually, mention how to get in touch with you. I mean, that is the best, most active kind of site, I think, for the kind of activity you're looking at. It's on a similar theme to the previous caller who was talking about starting a group. Maybe you could figure out a way to start a group and read books. Read my books. Read so many good books now. Very different than when I started out, where you could get together with people. You'll have to take initiative. And there are people who are on disability who do take initiative and who do end up setting up, groups of people or a group of people where they can meet and relate to each other. And you can do it online. There's a lot of chat groups online. There's a lot of resources out there if you don't have any money. I'd like to see you try that. Let me coach you. Try it and then, get in touch with me on BreganLive.com or give us a call in here, Sarah, and let us know. But you got to do some searching. You got to take initiative. This is not an activity that somebody can give you. It's the kind you've got to create in your own area or online. Does that make sense to you, Sarah?
Yeah, I've been doing that for the past 2 years, and I just haven't gotten anywhere with it. And so my initiative, I'm just growing
Sarah,
tired.
Sarah, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. You know, the common denominator of us human beings is that when things are hard, we get overwhelmed, we lose heart, and then we begin to feel really like we can't do anything. And that's the worst thing we can do to ourselves. You know, there's a lot of callers on this show who are in your same situation, and they just make up their minds. They're going to make contact with people. And that's what you got to do.
That's what I did by calling you.
Yeah, that's right. That's a very well put, I must say. That's better put than I put it. That's what you did by contacting me. All right, well, Sarah, where are you in California?
I'm in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who's actually called you several times.
You're that wonderful Sarah. You know, I apologize for not recognizing you and me. I'm sure everybody out there is saying it's Sarah, you dummy from California. And I said
There's
to myself
so many
before
Sarahs in California.
What, Sarah?
I said, there's so many Sarahs in California. I'm working with the Department of Rehabilitation here in California to try to get maybe a business going so that I can teach continuing education classes or, you know, something so that I can continue my research in a more structured way, because I am no longer associated with any IRBs, or I've never had the opportunity to work with a mentor that is interested in the research that I'm doing. And so all of my research has just been on other people's projects, and I've always played this to such a minimal role that I need kind of some structure in terms of getting out there and being able to really be a mover and shaker. I'm actually the moderator of a group with over 2,500 international members, and then we support each other in trying to figure out, solve problems and brainstorm resolutions that don't involve medications and are more plant-based and things like that. It's just been, this past week has just been really
You just had a bad week.
I have.
Sounds like. Because I'm like, you're doing amazing things. Doing amazing things. Oh, my God. Yeah, and every time you've called, I've wondered, who is this secret person? Because you always have something. So you've had a tough week. I'm so glad you called in, to finally get down to that. This is all hard work we do, and it's very easy to get discouraged. And, you know, to me, finding a loving partner has just changed my life for 35 years, because I did this pretty much through thick and thin until my 40s. I think that's just been so helpful to me. Are you pretty much alone, Sarah?
No, I actually have an amazing husband who's truly phenomenal. He's a brain cancer survivor. He is just amazing in his ability to function with three-fourths of the brain and be as compassionate as he is and as hardworking as he is. He's really my guiding light. I'm very, very grateful for him.
So it sounds like you just, need today to get some encouragement again and get some appreciation again and get back on that track again, and which we all have to do. Discouragement is part of taking risks, reaching out, doing things. What is it? The mentor issue sounds so interesting. I'm just not sure why, with all that you're doing and all the reaching out you have, that you haven't connected with somebody who maybe isn't a mentor, but at least makes a partnership of talking to you and sharing with you.
Well, I did make an appointment with one of the professors at the university where I used to work, and we had a brainstorming session on some of the things that I could do. My problem is with the ECT brain, I just need a little bit more structure and guidance in terms of like how to plan out mm-hmm. a research project or how to, you know, to actually carry it through. Like I have a research project that I'm interested in doing and I've been working on it. And that's calculating the totals reimbursed by Medicare and Medi-Cal in California yeah. for ECT treatments. And I've been working on identifying that so that I can demonstrate how much California is actually using ECT, because I think it's something that's going unregistered. I don't think yeah. people recognize how many people are receiving ECT.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 20 seconds left. So, Sarah,
okay.
I think that's a fabulous project. Email me, you know, at Bregan Live. Have you done that already? If so, email me again.
I will.
And let's, you know, stay in touch and keep calling in. You are a wonderful guest. I consider you one of my top guests from all of my wonderful listeners. Thank you so, so much. And just stay in touch. Folks, this has been a really interesting time together. I've got one more guest I can't possibly deal with now. And I'm going to be saying goodbye to all of you for the time being. Take care of yourselves. Remember the importance of friendship. Remember the importance of having people that support you and love you. Don't give up on love. Don't give up on partnership. Even if it seems a million miles away. And remember, you know, we're all God's children and we all deserve a good life, but we have to work on it. Thanks for being part of the audience. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye now.